We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome, welcome. It's 3:08 on a beautiful Monday afternoon. Jordana here. Once again, David and I are all alone because Paul filled in for Dave Lee this morning. But fear not, my friends. Paul will be joining us at 4:30 to talk about the effect that climate change has had on these wildfires out east, on the hurricanes, you know, how we're seeing some real effects of that every day now. So Paul's going to join us at 5:30 just for a few minutes, but hopefully he'll have a nap first. David is at the helm, and David spent part of the day yesterday while he was away with his family watching football, as we all did. And it almost felt a little normal. I mean, did that feel that way to you, David? Almost a little bit normal?
It felt normal in that it's like, oh, it's a Sunday and it's fall, it's September. Right. I think I'm supposed to watch football today. Like, that's what the clock of the last 20 years of my life tells me. But then you turn on the TV and there's no crowd noise or fake crowd noise and there's nobody in the stands. And, you know, you see the shot of the field goal and there's nobody behind there. And it's just, it's eerie. And I'm not sure what to think about it because it's so fun to have, you know, Vikings lost, but it's so fun to have it back. Mm-hmm. But it's weird and eerie, and I guess we knew it was coming, but it was still a little strange to tune in yesterday.
Yeah. I have friends that tailgated on their front yards, you know, before. I mean, it's so much fun to go down to the parking lot right next to the – many parking lots right next to the stadium. But I have friends that tailgated on their front yard and just tried to – you know, scrape a little bit of the season and the normalcy and the routine of football together. But there was nothing, like you said, normal about yesterday's games. There was nothing regular or usual. It wasn't like the old shoe that we're used to slipping into on Sunday afternoons. In fact, even to start the game, it was a very different to watch. Two NFL teams locked arms and knelt. And one star quarterback wore cleats, blaring the message, "No justice, no peace." The friend, "End racism," was stenciled on fields. And many players, many teams, avoided the fields during the playing of the national anthem. That's right. The NFL decided that along with the Star Spangled Banner, you would also hear "Lift Every Voice and Sing," known as the Black National Anthem, which the NFL arranged to have played before games in the opening weeks of the season. But still, teams decided that they were going to stay in their locker rooms just to avoid any inference at all of the fact that they might come out for one anthem and not come out for the other. You know, it was weird. It was weird. And I get all of it. And I'm not saying that weird is bad. It felt different. But it felt like we are in this moment of change. The Atlanta Falcons linked arms during the anthem. The Seattle Seahawks knelt or raised a right fist. And it was just, and the Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson formed a triangle with the coach and another player. I guess these were all, I'd be curious to be a fly on the wall to hear the discussions about what they were going to do during this, because it all had to be planned out. Absolutely, it had to be planned out. So the Falcons earlier named John Lewis, the civil rights icon and congressman who died in July, as their honorary captain. So these were definitely different scenes on the football field than we've had in the past, where Colin Kaepernick was vilified and his career ended because he knelt during the national anthem. So that things have changed, my friends. Things have definitely changed. And even in Minneapolis, the Vikings honored George Floyd and other victims of racial violence. And the team didn't sound its horn, which blows to fire up fans usually on Sunday's game. David, how do you say the name of that horn?
The Gallerhorn, I believe.
There you go, that one. I didn't want to say it wrong, and there's a J in it, by the way.
I think it's some sort of Scandinavian spelling.
G-J-A-L-L-A-R-H-O-R-N.
Maybe a couple of little dots over one of the vowels or something.
I don't know, something like that. And the Packers stayed in the locker room, you know, during the playing of the national anthem and Lift Every Voice. So, again, every team got to decide what they're going to do. And I am not in any way passing judgment on whatever the teams decided to do. I think we're in a very personal era of how we're going to deal with it. And we are over the fact that somebody's going to tell you what to do. You know, Roger Goodell is no longer saying you have to do this. The team owners are no longer saying we're going to fire you if you do that. We are post that. You can't do that anymore. And my opinion is that this puts us in a better place in this history that we're writing of American history. Did you feel uncomfortable at all about that, David, when you saw the locking arms or the kneeling or the showing up?
No, I don't. I think the only part that makes me a little wary is we're also in a place in our society where everything you do, whether you're trying to put meaning on it or not, is assigned meaning by somebody else. So maybe you're somebody that just goes, you know, I like playing football. I'm good at football. I don't really want to comment on the world right now. What do you do? Do you stand for the anthem? Do you stay in the locker room? And any choice you make is going, you have potential to get torn apart on social media and elsewhere. So that's the part I don't like about it, that if I want to say nothing, it's impossible to do that. You're forced to pick sides.
Because even your silence speaks now.
Yes, exactly.
So, anything you do. Yeah. All right, when we get back, we will breathe together, my friends. We'll let it all out. And Dave and I are going to play a game. We're going to quiz each other on what is the real fake news next. It's time to breathe, everyone. Fantastic. Monday afternoon, you made it through the weekend, you're back at work. It's time to breathe. And it's time to get serious. We have been doing these breathing exercises for months since we started quarantine, I believe about 6 months ago. And one of the most effective breathing exercises for me is called Ujjayi breathing. You guys know I do yoga, and in yoga, you do Ujjayi. And this, while I try to meditate, I'm not great at it, even though I try, but when I am moving in yoga, it helps me meditate much more. So I'm going to teach you Ujjayi breathing, because when I'm doing this, all of the focus is on my breath, and it really helps me clear my mind. So here's how you do Ujjayi breathing or yoga breathing. Some people say restrict your throat. You restrict your throat. And sometimes you can do this by maybe sticking your tongue to the roof of your mouth. And when you breathe in and breathe out, you should hear an oceanic sound. So let's see if you can hear it on the radio and on Instagram Live at Jordana Verde. It sounds like this. And my mouth is closed when I do this. You're supposed to sound like Darth Vader. David, did it sound like Darth Vader a little bit?
Absolutely.
He's saying yes. Okay, good. So literally keep a restriction in your throat and sound like the ocean or Darth Vader. It helps if you have your core locked up pretty tight. So your core, your muscles are tensed. This, of course, helps get you in great shape doing yoga. So your stomach is kind of locked. And you're the back of your throat is locked. Let's do it a few times, okay? Make sure you hear that sound. And keep your lips closed. One more time, breathe in. Now, I find as many exercises as I teach you, this is my go-to. When something stressful is happening in my life, I probably need to shut my mouth, and I do, and I go into Ujjayi. And I've been practicing yoga for so many years that my body has this instant reaction to chill out. So Ujjayi breathing, practice anytime, day or night, and don't worry, people on the outside really can't hear you. Thank you for breathing with me and work on this one. It helps. Now David and I are going to try to stump each other. There are so many crazy stories out there that sometimes we think a fake story is real or a real story is fake because they're insane. So David and I have pulled a few and we are going to try to stump each other. David, you want to start or you want me to start?
Oh, I'm ready to go. Let me start, okay?
Okay, here we go.
So get this. A YouTuber recently live streamed himself taking a quote, dump on,
oh my gosh, no,
get this, on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's driveway. Get that. He's live streaming himself, this YouTuber, like dropping trowel and dropping something right there on the driveway.
No.
This is in San Francisco.
No.
He like sets up the camera and then like narrates what he's gonna do and then walks over there and drops. I had to come back and like get the toilet paper and he goes over there. It's being called wait for it, you ready? The Poopalosi.
Oh my God.
And it racked up more than 19,000 views on YouTube.
This absolutely cannot be real because I'm assuming that the speaker, Madam Speaker, has security. I'm assuming she lives in a place with security. I'm sure she gets death threats every day from lunatics. And also, I figure my kids would have showed this to me if it was on YouTube already. How many? 90 million views?
So far, 19,000.
Okay. No, this absolutely cannot be real. I'm sure there's security to protect. Come on.
It's real. I watched it. I don't recommend it, but I watched part of it.
It's
unpleasant. It's unpleasant.
So did dude get like arrested? Or he got away with it?
I think he got away with it in the moment. Like it shows him packing up and they leave. And I guess part of the video shows the driveway after the deed was done. I skipped past that part. I haven't heard an update if like he got arrested after the fact or something, but
yeah, I wonder. I'm going to Google that during the break because I'm sure public defecation is not legal even in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's awful.
Or is that where they are? San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Get this.
Okay.
TikTok. Speaking of social media here, from YouTube to TikTok yesterday, it reportedly chose Oracle as its business partner. Remember you guys that President Trump threatened to ban TikTok. It's a Chinese video sharing app. I believe ByteDance is the owner, which is a Chinese company. He said it posed a national security risk. So he gave American companies an opportunity to buy it and make it not a risk. Microsoft was going to buy it at one time. That fell apart. Well, the deadline is coming. Okay, the deadline is, I think he gave him like 30 days. So TikTok says the deal with Oracle will satisfy the administration's security concerns, although details are scarce. One detail has been linked to the public is that Larry Ellison, who is the founder and owner of Oracle, like multi-gazillion billionaire, has to start a TikTok account and do at least one of the popular dances for the deal to go through.
I think that's one of those stories I wish was true, but I'm going to say no, that's false.
You're right. Most of it's true that Oracle is going to buy TikTok, but part of the deal was not that Larry Ellison had to learn a TikTok dance.
Don't you wish that's the world we lived in where like every deal that went down, you're like, okay, you're going to buy this thing, but you got to do a dance first.
Yes, I want to see that. Yes, that should be. They should put it in the deal now that they've heard it because they're avid listeners to the Paul and Jordana show. They should definitely put it in the deal. All right, what you got?
So, Jordana, I know that you're at least occasional McDonald's fan. I've been to McDonald's with you before. We got a nice tour. And
yes,
McDonald's
we did get a tour.
Is reinventing some marketing because of COVID and actually some of their packaging because of COVID. So, obviously, the popular fast food chain is coming up with a new packaging, and they're calling it the Crave Clutch. And get this, it contains 20 hamburgers. It's like this big, giant family thing. 20 hamburgers, a whole bunch of fries, and you can get this whole thing, this whole packaged deal. And now, keep in mind, they haven't reinvented packaging to this extent in almost two decades. And they've been working behind the scenes on this, and they've been trying to figure it out. And now they go, okay, COVID's the time. Let's accelerate the thing. You can now get a Crave Clutch at McDonald's. It comes with a, like, cardboard box with, like, a fake leather handle and some stitching on it to make it fancy. And you can, of course, pick this up and take it to the park or back home or wherever you're going to have your McDonald's with your family during COVID.
I believe that, you know, we did a story about McDonald's and Travis Scott, who's a rapper who now has the Travis Scott meal. I did this last week. And it's wildly popular. And my kids went to go get one because they're huge Travis Scott fans. So the marketing is working. I believe McDonald's is in a very good place. And I believe, yeah, they're trying some new stuff. So I'm going to say, yes, this is true. Oh, come on.
Okay,
you made
the
that
dead
up.
The dead giveaway, Jordana, is the Crave.
Is the leather clutch?
No, no, no. The Crave clutch. What restaurant would have the Crave clutch with 20 hamburgers in it? Come on.
You're talking to somebody who's kosher. I don't eat fast food.
Everybody knows that you can get, like, the briefcase of sliders at White Castle. And that's who is actually coming out with the Crave clutch with the faux leather on the cardboard that you can take to the beach or wherever you're meeting your socially distant friends.
That's actually really cute. That's smart. I tell you, marketing is smart. Everybody's eating fast food now. Everyone's doing drive-thrus. It really is easy. Wow. I can't believe I'm 0 for 2 with you, David.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this game.
That's pretty bad. Well, you know, you're talking about fast food. Talk kosher food, and then maybe I'll start winning.
Okay, sounds good.
Let's see. We have time for one more.
All right.
Peeps Treats are going on a hiatus for several months. This is another consequence of the coronavirus pandemic.
These are those, like, Easter marshmallow thingies? Is that what we're talking about? Okay.
You would think we would need more Peeps in a time like this, but Just Born Quality Confections, that's the owner, says it won't be producing the marshmallow sweets for Halloween, Christmas, Valentine's Day, as the company prepares for next Easter. So they're gearing up for Easter, and they just can't do these other holidays, because there were Peeps for every holiday. Production was suspended as the coronavirus spread across Pennsylvania. They're based in Bethlehem. Limited production resumed in mid-May with protocols in place, but you're just not going to have any Peeps until Easter. True or false?
I'm gonna go with true, because I think they sell more of those little marshmallow Peeps at Easter. That's their whole bread and butter is Easter, so they're just gonna put all their eggs in that basket.
I'm gonna say you looked at my notes before the show.
I did not.
It's true. You're right.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry for Peeps fans, because what are they gonna do? No marshmallow Peeps for Halloween.
I guess eat normal marshmallows. I don't know.
I know, right? I always say that Peeps are barely even food. I have no idea what's in them other than sugar. So it's a little weird. Okay, when we return, Ramsey County John Choi, quit. Oh my God, I can barely speak. Quit President Trump's Law Enforcement Commission. Why? And what does he have to say about it? I'll read his notes next. Yeah, a little bit of trouble for John Choi, but he needed to go. Well done with that lead-in, David. I appreciate it. Ramsey County Attorney John Choi has quit President Trump's Law Enforcement Commission, expressing concern over a, quote, predetermined agenda. So, of course, we asked John Choi to come on. He's been on this show before, and I talked with him extensively when I was doing my podcast about rape and sexual violence with the Star Tribune. He's a law and order guy. He is a rule follower, and that's what you want in your county attorney. And he's not alone, by the way, in quitting this task force. He's among a number of high-profile lawyers who cut ties with the U.S. Justice Department this month. He was part of the Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice. It was formed last October. And last October, I mean October of 2019. And its goal was to evaluate ways to make law enforcement more trusted and more effective. So, you know, really be able to bond with the community, having the community trust them, and make it more effective. So Friday, Attorney General William Barr got Choi's letter of resignation. He says he was concerned that, quote, I'm not going to read you the whole thing. It's very long. He was concerned that, quote, intent on providing cover for a predetermined agenda that ignores the lessons of the past. So, of course, I wanted, you know, the county attorney to come on and say, ooh, what's the predetermined agenda? I had lots of questions about this. And it's unfortunate that we won't get those questions answered, but I understand he probably can only say so much or wants to be done with the whole thing. Choi went on to write that the commission's final report would, quote, vilify local prosecutors who exercise their well-settled prosecutorial discretion consistent with the community's values and the interest of justice. He claims that addressing community concerns was never the intended goal of this task force, and it was supposed to be. He says this will only widen the divisions in our nation. The final report will only widen divisions of the nation. Wow. What the heck was going on over there? And what were these predetermined assessments? What kind of agenda was the administration trying to push through? And are they not serious about bridging that gap between communities and policing? Because, friends, we need to be serious about that. That's one of the greatest crises in our country right now. It's really troubling. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, said in March that this commission was, quote, little more than a sham commission formed only for the purposes of advancing a thin blue line, a law and order agenda. Yeah, it's, I mean, that's troubling to hear. In a court hearing, the ACLU criticized the commission for failure to address police violence. Hello, isn't that what you're created to do? Or one of the things you were created to do? The ACLU also criticized them for disregarding the COVID-19 pandemic and attacks on reform. Boy. Remember, Choi was not the only person to walk away from the Justice Department. Two other high-profile Department of Justice attorneys also announced their departure from politically charged projects. This is very, very troubling. And I don't know. I honestly, I don't know what to say about this. If there is something hiding, or I mean, if there's a deep state, it's one that exists through these, through this task force, which people are now quitting in droves. In the letter that County Attorney Choi sent to the president of the commission, here's a couple of things that they were concerned about, a couple of other things that, other than the ones I've already mentioned. He writes, concerned have been raised by the NAACP and a host of other organizations with the commission's process, inclusiveness, transparency, whether the commission's process conform to applicable federal law. Questions have also been raised about the commission's final report. We mentioned that before, that it will safely recognize and sufficiently recognize and be responsive to racial disparities in policing in the justice system, as well as inequalities of the cash bail system. I guess they weren't doing that. And they also weren't addressing law enforcement and the justice system within communities of color. Goes on with one other bullet point where he says, most concerning as prosecutors. And then, again, this came from more than just Choi. Most concerning as prosecutors is language in the president's executive order that may be language in the commission's final report that would seek to erode local prosecutorial discretion. Communities across the country, it continues, included our own, have benefited tremendously from the efforts by elected DAs to implement evidence-based reforms. We're very confident of the role that prosecutors as independently elected officials and ministers of justice, and that could be undermined by recommendations diminishing the exercise of that discretion. So I'm not sure what they're saying here. Maybe they wanted county attorneys to be appointed by one of the federal government appointees. Again, I'd have to read between the lines here, and you would too, and I don't really like doing that much, especially with this legalese. That's why I was hoping County Attorney Choi would join us on the phone to get these questions answered. But this is problematic, friends. This is problematic. And I guess we have to shine the light on things that are going on in government. You and I would never know anything about this. We're not monitoring this task force, the President's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administrative Justice. If the NCAA couldn't get transparency, certainly regular folks like you and I can't. But when John Choi and some other prosecutors quit and write a letter about why they're disgruntled, wow. Of course, the Trump administration came back at Choi and said he was ineffective and weak. And of course, they tried to defame him. Here they said Choi, along with the two other U.S. attorneys that also quit, say they offered very little in substance and that Choi's opinions didn't have a lot of depth. Because that's the life we're living in now. When you talk bad about the administration, they come back harder at you and say you're ineffective and you're an idiot. And, you know, they hit you back, right? Wasn't that President Trump's thing? Hit back 10 times harder. So, of course, I guess all three of these prosecutors that were appointed to the commission have lacked very little in substance and didn't have a lot of depth. So I'm not believing that. But you get to use your critical thinking skills and decide what is best. So a weird day on that. We will be looking for more fallout and just some more information on why this is happening. And very interesting to hear the final report from the Commission on Law Enforcement and the Administration of Justice to see if it has any teeth, to see if it's moving anything forward, to see if it's actually helping make better law enforcement and policing in America. I don't have a lot of faith right now, my friends. When we get back, Sloan Martin, she's working on a feature that highlights the Spokesman Reporter, a Black family-owned newspaper. We'll hear about that next. Welcome back. It's 3:50, Jordana Green, David at the helm. Thank you for spending some time with us on a beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope you got your earbuds in and you're on the lake or in the backyard or just outside somewhere soaking up this last dash of summer. Our own Sloan Martin is in the newsroom and she's working on a feature that highlights a newspaper called The Spokesman Reporter. And Sloan, this is a Black family-owned newspaper, is that correct?
Back to the early 1930s, and it's really an exploration. You'll hear it in the 6 o'clock news tonight about the importance, really the past, present, and future of Black newspapers and Black media sources, how for the first part of the 20th century, and we're talking about deeply entrenched Jim Crow America, how these were important disseminators of information reaching the Black community, and how journalists and publishers were really prominent figures, especially in terms of trying to get the respect of white people in the community as well. So it was very much trying to bridge the gap between the two, where you have the society that you're trying to integrate, but there's, you know, severe segregation at the time, but also trying to talk directly to your own community. And how it's going right now, we talked also about how COVID is affecting. We know that it's having a significant impact on media at large, which has already been struggling for, you know, a decade plus. So it's an interesting conversation about those roots, but also the importance of that type of media currently.
So this is a paper that's Minnesota based and based since what did you say, 1832?
Not that far. No, in the 1930s. Okay. So we're talking about Jim Crow, not antebellum here. But it's still completely functional. They have a staff of 3 full-time staff members, a couple of freelancers and a part-timer as well. And they put together a really solid newspaper. And if you go online, it's still quite fresh. You're still getting those enterprise stories, those feature stories, and of course the public health information that's very important right now, particularly when we see COVID-19 disparately affecting people of color and Black people as well.
How is it, and this is the question of the hour, how is it that I've never heard of this paper?
Well, you know, I think maybe me being out in the field, you come across the reporters as well. Mm-hmm. They have a longtime sports reporter, Charles Hallman, as well as Larry Fitzgerald Sr. He's there too, covering the Vikings. So I think just in your, at least in my outings, you definitely know them and come across them. I sat next to Larry Fitz when I went to Kansas City to cover the Vikings game last year. And so you just come across them that way. But obviously, it's going to have a more narrow and niche focus because you're talking specifically to the Black community. And according to the publisher, who is the granddaughter of the founder, Cecil Newman, she said that this is, you know, carrying on that family legacy, but it's about bringing different kinds of stories too that you don't often see in the mainstream media. You know, you think about if you are Black or a person of color and you wonder, you know, is this expert? Is this health information? Is this directed at me? Are they thinking of me when they are giving this information? Am I included in, you know, what is being talked about here? So when you go to those media sources, you obviously don't have that same concern. You know that this is directly to me affecting my life and that I am the focus of what's being talked about here. So that's kind of an example of how it is still relevant right now. So the spokesman recorder has that, you know, family history here, that Minnesota strong bonds, and the publisher is already looking to the next generation, talking to her own daughter and nephew about, you know, the future with this family. So it's an examination of why we can still support and how we can still support alternate media.
I think that is fantastic. I can't wait to hear. Is that at 6 today? Is that what you're working on for today?
Yeah, that'll be at 6 o'clock today. And I shouldn't call it an interesting story. I mean, it's devastating. It's an example of blatant racism in a time of Jim Crow segregation. But you can really see how something that, you know, started with, I think all of us know about the Great Migration in the 1930s, mm-hmm. With African-Americans moving up north, expecting more opportunity in Minnesota. But it turned out they were still facing the same racism they were facing in the South as well. So how they turned that, this entrepreneur, this publisher, Cecil Newman, turning this into a really good business opportunity for his family long down the line.
Very cool. Sloan, I know you're a sports reporter, so I just want to shift gears. Was it strange for you, the beginning of the NFL season? I mean, and where I'm talking about social justice. You know, some teams stayed in the locker rooms, some knelt, some locked arms. Was this strange for you, or what was your reaction?
You know, it's interesting. I maybe have a different perspective than other people. It was not strange for me at all. In fact, it was... maybe even I just expected a little bit more. And I think the reason is because I am so entrenched in the WNBA, which is, I think we can all see with the examples of what they've done with their platform and say her name and putting Breonna Taylor on their jerseys and so many things they've done in their bubble in Florida during this regular season, really leading the way in terms of a social justice charge. You know, when I look at the NFL and you to think that, you know, linking arms with the other team would be a controversial symbol, according to some people in the stands over there at Arrowhead. You know, it's much different for me to see that and be like, oh, that might be off-putting to some people. Whereas in the WNBA, you're seeing that more, I guess, progressive stance when it comes to really saying no to any kind of injustice.
I appreciate the insight. Sloan Martin, we will listen about the spokesman reporter at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.